Last week, Johnny gave us a great introduction to 1 Peter. I especially like that picture with these people lined up, the immigrants. He's describing what it means to be in exile. And I'm not going to give you an outline right now, because after we read the few verses that we're looking at, I had to outline them myself. So I'll show you the outline that I made of the verses, and that'll give an outline of the message that I have. But let's just refresh ourselves with what it means to be in exile. You can look at these men, and I'm not good at reading minds and hearts, but I know they're very hopeful. They're hoping for a new life. They've heard stories about the U.S. They've come into the country, and they have a lot of hope. I hope they won't be disappointed, but that's huge in exiles' lives. And these are coming in, but a lot of you have seen a lot of other pictures like I have in the news, like go to the next one, hope it's everything for exiles, and the next picture, that's a little more sobering. Thousands of people displaced from their country, not even knowing if they're going to be able to get anywhere else, hoping, waiting. What's up ahead? Hope is a huge issue for them and for these people on this boat. Talking to Robbie McAllister at the pastor's conference, every day there are still hundreds of people trying to make that little short trip across that little stretch of water in the Mediterranean between Turkey and Greece. And about a third of them lose their lives. They don't make it across that stretch of water, because for them to take off at night, guards are roaming the banks, shooting anyone that tries to leave. But they're so desperate for hope that they're willing to take it. Well, these are made it across there, and they're desperate for hope. But when you think about it, hope is what everyone, all of us, are looking for. And it's just, we go to college, we get training, hoping to get a good education, hoping to get a good job, spend time with people, hoping for a good relationship, hoping for a good marriage, hoping for kids. Possibly, not everyone's the same. And so that's the environment that Peter is writing this letter to people. He calls them strangers. You can call them exiles, because when we're followers of Christ, this is not our home. We're in foreign country. And we didn't talk about hope. It's for everyone. Don't have to go. You can just imagine a lot of stories behind those pictures there. Let's go to the next slide here with the environment that Peter was writing. 60 to 64 AD, about when this letter was written. It's a good chance that Peter was in Rome. He refers to it as Babylon. That's a whole other story. We'll get that later. But a lot of Christians he knew were experiencing increasing oppression. The Jews were experiencing increasing oppression. Just a few years after this letter was written, Israel and Jerusalem was going to be decimated worse than ever before in history. A lot of Jewish historians say it was the worst ever. And the oppression against Christians. Nero, 64 AD, came into power just right after this letter was written. And he came down hard on Christians. So the tension and oppression is increasing, and that's why Peter's writing this letter. And today, it's similar. We have tension and oppression increasing, not so much political here, but a lot of countries in the world, China, Arab countries. Wow, I was just talking to Dale. He went to the Voice of the Martyrs conference a couple weeks ago, and a Chinese person talked about the increase of oppression, surveillance. Their government's goal, 2 cameras for every person in the country so they could watch you all the time, rewards for reporting what your friends are doing if they do anything out of line with the government. That's tension and oppression. And Peter's writing into this kind of environment here. Here in the U.S., we are, for us today, growing tension and oppression. especially in the areas of morals and values, just being turned upside down. It's honored to promote any desire, anything you want, any gender you want to be. It's a wide open. However you want to practice your sexuality, it's wide open. And what are the results? Just devastation in personal lives, relationships, marriage, families. People give up hope. People give up hope. I've literally talked to people saying, I never want to get married. There's no such, I've never seen a good marriage. I just had no hope for ever having a good marriage. And so they're out to pursue satisfaction, fulfillment in other ways, and they're not going to find it without the Lord. So that's the environment that we have. A lot of hopelessness, increasing suicide rates among teens. When that happens, that's hopelessness. And that's a big theme that Peter's writing, to give hope for people under increasing oppression and tension. So, 1 Peter 3, a few verses, but Peter packs a lot of information, a lot of important truth in these few verses. Let's ask the Holy Spirit's help. Lord Jesus, you're not surprised at all about what's happening in the world. What any government is doing, the way people are thinking in this country, you're not surprised. You've seen it all before, and you knew what would happen. And you have come into this world with all hope that we need. And we're so thankful that you led Peter to write by your Spirit to give us hope also. So thanks for this time together, for these few verses. Give us your mind, your perspective, so we can experience all the hope that you're offering us. We pray in your name, Jesus. Amen. Okay, 1 Peter 1, verse 3 to 5. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. When I was thinking about these verses, it was tough for me to know where to focus and how to go about it. So I just did a simple Bible study method, and that is outlining the phrases here, to find out what is the main point and what are the modifying points, what are the supporting points that Paul was making. And so I'll just give you a brief rundown here of how that came out for me. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the foundational statement that these verses start off with. And then it says, in His mercy. Well, in His mercy, what does that modify? It modifies the phrase, He has given us new birth. Okay, praise be to the God and Father of Jesus Christ. Why? Because He's given us new birth. And why has He given us new birth? In His mercy. Into a living hope. He's given us new birth into a living hope. That's what kind of new birth we've given us. A new life into a living hope. How did that living hope come? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That's how that happened. And another aspect of what that new birth brings us into is into an inheritance. So He's brought us into new hope, into living hope, and an inheritance. And then He talks about the inheritance. An inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. And here I jump to the ESV for my outline here. I read it in NIV, but I jumped to the ESV because it was more very consistent with the New American Standard, and I have more confidence in those for being literal translations. So the description of this inheritance is kept in heaven for you, and then a modification of you who are being guarded. How are you being guarded? By God's power, through faith. What for? For salvation. And then a description of salvation, that is ready to be revealed in the last time. So there you have it, an outline that helped me think through these verses. When I looked at that, I thought, okay, he's given us new birth. That is the main point of these verses. Our Father in heaven has given us new birth. And this new birth gives us two things, brings us into two things. Brings us into living hope and brings us into an inheritance. There. And so that's the outline of our message. That's what we're going to look at. What does that living hope look like? And what does that inheritance look like? Because that's the purpose, that's the expression of the result of the new birth that Peter's talking about here. Okay. So, when I began thinking about the... Let's think about that phrase, praise be to God and Father. That helped me know that Peter's reminding us the authority for what he's saying comes from God the Father. That's where our living hope comes from. All the rest comes from the God the Father. And he is the highest authority, God of heaven and earth. So exiles are looking for hope. And they hear a lot of offers of hope. And it reminded me of one offer that our country makes, the Statue of Liberty. I didn't find this out too recently, but my wife has known it for a long time, that the plaque at the bottom of the Statue of Liberty has a poem, and this is part of it. Statue is standing there saying, "Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses, the wretched refuse of your teeming shore. Send these, the homeless, tempest-tossed to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door." This is where you can find hope. All you masses that are struggling and looking for hope, come here. Here is the golden door. Well, we wish our government could offer that, but we're finding out our government isn't exactly a golden door for us personally, let alone all the masses coming in. And a lot of people don't have much more hope than what a government has to offer. But Peter's saying, the God who made heaven and earth, our Father, he is offering new birth and living hope. Wow. There shouldn't even be a choice for us. That's where I want to go for hope. And then it says, in his mercy, he has given us a living hope. Mercy is not what I deserve. He's not giving me what I deserve. Separation from him. Destruction is what I deserve. But in his mercy, he's given me a living hope. Out of his compassion, he's giving me a living hope. Because a living hope is a very special term. Not just a new life. So you walk in a new country, I've got a new life, I made it to the U.S. Yes, I have a new life, but for a lot of those refugees, it's up to them to figure out how to handle it, to maneuver the government, red tape, figuring out all these documents in a foreign language. It is a nightmare for a lot of refugees, immigrants, when they come to a country. But when you have a living hope, that makes the new life very, very different. And this, we know this living hope is referring to a person primarily. Because Peter himself, look at later in 1 Peter 1:21, he says, through him you believe in God, who raised him, referring to Jesus, from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. So God is your living hope, and of course Jesus is God. So it's another place we see Jesus really is our living hope. 1 Peter 3:5, for this is the way the holy women of the past who put their hope in God used to adorn themselves. So really the living hope that Peter's talking about is a living person, Jesus Christ. He's the center of the hope that we have. So that's why I put the title in your bulletin notes, our living hope. That's a key focus for us to have here in 1 Peter. And just to help you understand how important a living person is, I want to share this little story of a Syrian family who were refugees from Syria. And that's that big refugee camp. Those are Syrian refugees, thousands of them. Not many of them have a living sponsor to sponsor them to another country. But this family here, Wafa al-Safadi and her husband Zaid Zaina, had their home destroyed by a missile in 2012. They later lost an 18-month-old son. They later lost a brother in the war. But there is a private sponsor, Alan King, from Nova Scotia, Canada, that took personal responsibility to sponsor this family to come to Canada, and he would take care of them. And that's why there's so many smiles in this one picture. So exciting to meet their friends and in the town there, welcoming them. They gave them a home, set up a potluck, welcome committee. Living family, living sponsors makes night and day difference for refugees coming into the country. And that's what Peter's offering. We have a living hope that's based on a person, not just government word from a government or some authority, but a living hope in the form of a person that's going to take care of us. Another example of a living hope is Guyana, who's a seven-year-old who has spina bifida. Got a picture of her coming up here. Now, her story is that she spent 5 years separated from her family soon after she was born. She had two other diseases besides spina bifida. And no matter all the work that the doctors and nurses gave, and there was hope with all the doctors, but it didn't accomplish a whole lot. They gave her a wheelchair. That's hope. I can get around. But that doesn't go very far. But what has made a huge difference in her is her dad and family have given her so much hope and pleasure in life. Her dad entered the Ninja Warrior contest. And to practice for that, he would carry his little daughter because her legs were essentially useless. But she loved to ride on his shoulders and hang on. And the Ninja Warrior contest is you do all these very strenuous things, exercises and jumps and climbing walls. Here he is practicing climbing walls with his daughter just hanging on there, smiling. And she talks about how he does all these, you know, swinging like a monkey and all these ropes and his daughter just hanging on, doing things that most kids could never do by themselves. But she's hanging on with her dad and can live virtual life of a ninja warrior by riding his shoulders there. I thought that was such a cool person. But that's what made a difference for her life. Having a living person, a living sponsor, gave her a living hope to have joy, fulfillment in life. And of course, we know it's not just her dad, but her family also. So back to 1 Peter 3. How does this living hope come? Well, it says it's in his great mercy that he's given us this living hope. And it's through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. This living hope that we have is far more than a ninja dad, than a ninja warrior dad. This living hope, Jesus, has defeated the greatest obstacle of all of humanity that destroys hope after hope, death, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He is your living hope, Peter is reminding us. And then Peter goes on to say, in his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. But even when you think about inheritance, it's not just this pie in the sky, a nice thing that's going to be in heaven at some time that we're waiting for. But this inheritance is really related to the person, and the same person, Jesus Christ. Look at Romans 8:17. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. Our real inheritance is Jesus himself. And we have him right now. Yes, our inheritance will be fulfilled later on in heaven, but we are co-heirs with him now. The inheritance is all taken care of right now when we began that new birth, when we were born again into that family. We became co-heirs with Jesus Christ. So going on in 1 Peter 1-5, this inheritance, we have more description about this inheritance, is kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. So another aspect of how sure our hope is that we are guarded by God's power. Wow. No one can take away this hope from us. John 10:28. Nothing, no one can take us out of the Father's hands. That's how sure this hope is. Other exiles who come into the U.S. or any other country, they have a lot of hope. It disappears. We've heard so many stories of things changing, government regulations changing, people not being able to keep their word, money running out. But with the hope that we have in Jesus, we are guarded by God's power. The power that's created the whole universe, that's who's guarding us, protecting us from this hope. It can't be removed. And so a lot of times that comes back to, wow, why am I experiencing all these problems? But that gets back into understanding our sponsor's mindset and what he's all about in giving us this living hope. So anyway, on a slide, I put the next title in your notes that says, our daily hope is protected by God's power. So on the slide here, I changed that a little bit. Our daily hope is that we are protected by God's power. And it's good to recognize this is present tense, that we are guarded right now by God's power. And so that doesn't mean that pain, difficulties, suffering, all that won't happen to us. But it means that God's purpose will be accomplished. What is his purpose? Part of it is mentioned here in this passage. His purpose is for salvation. We're guarded by God's purpose. We're guarded by God's power, by faith, for salvation. What's salvation? Think, oh, okay, I'll be in heaven with him. I'm guarded. I have a guarantee that I'll be in heaven with him. Well, that's true, but there's more to it than that. His purpose is for complete salvation. What is that? Well, back to 1 Peter. Later on, Peter makes some descriptions about salvation. Look at 1 Peter 1:9. He says, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. So right now we have that salvation that we'll also receive at the end, the salvation of our souls. But the salvation of our soul is happening right now. And 1 Peter 2:2 says, like newborn babies, crave spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Oh, God wants me to grow in my salvation. Does he want me to grow in my possession of eternal life? Not necessarily. He wants us to grow in Christ. He's my life. He's my salvation. So again, it's back to this living person. He is my salvation. He's not just, oh, Mike, here's some salvation. Here's your ticket for heaven. Hope you enjoy it. Maybe I'll see you there. No. Here I am. I enjoy you. I want you on my shoulders like that ninja dad. I really like that picture. You want to get up on my shoulders, go through life on my shoulders, and then we'll spend eternity together, starting right now. Okay, how to do that? Okay, remember, Mike, your goal is not to be comfortable. It's going to be scary. You're going to see some awful things. You might get anxious. but I want you to experience my love, my power in any kind of situation. The worse the situation is, the more you're going to experience my salvation, my love, my power. So I hang on. I just love that little picture of that little girl on the shoulders hanging on. Okay, Dad, where are we going? Mike, are you ready for some real war? Real war? Are people going to get killed? Yeah, this is awful. This sin is awful. This is a very broken world. Oh, and I can just, no, I don't want it. But he's saying, if you're willing, I'll protect you. I'll protect you. Protected by God's power? It's scary. And that's what I struggle with every day. Are you really going to protect me? I've never experienced such pain, confusion. That's the struggle. But Jesus, our living hope, is much more than a ninja warrior. He just can be compared. And his purpose is salvation, for us to experience that salvation every day. Salvation from my own self that I can't even have victory of without his help. The awfulness of other people's sinful nature and all the brokenness of the world. I can't handle that. It's so awful. Right on my shoulders, Mike. Let's go through it together. I want to show you what power, what real love is like. Okay, I'll hang on tight. Let alone Satan. Mike, you want to see me go against the greatest, most awful power in the world? Most evil power in the world? No, I can't even help myself. I don't want Satan. You want my love? Hang on, Mike. Okay. I want to lose my life, Jesus. But I have never done this before. Don't worry, just hang on. Whew. And yeah, it's scary. But he is our living hope. Our living hope. Jesus Christ, who's defeated death, resurrected from the grave, and will always be guarded by him, by God's power, as we go through life as an exile, as a stranger here in this world. So, this is Peter's preparation for the big context of 1 Peter, the rest of 1 Peter. We're not going to go into Bible study of all that now, but it's interesting that 1 Peter talks about humility more than any other book in the New Testament. If we can move on to the slide there. Humbling ourselves before God in reverent trust, humbling ourselves before each other, hoping in God, these are all things we'll be talking about, and of course giving thanks is an expression of humility. This is an outworking as we go through life. Humility is an expression of hanging on to the shoulders of our living hope. And that makes us, that we don't have to fight. We don't have to fight ourselves. But humility is dependence. I'm dependent on you, Jesus. I can't handle this. That's what humility is. And that's the picture that Peter is establishing of our living hope as the basis for us to be able to handle all these things in life, all the oppression of government, relationships. Peter goes through it all later in that letter. And our living hope is the foundation of that. So let's read through these verses one more time. 1 Peter 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth. New birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. New birth also into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who are being guarded right now by God's power through faith for salvation that is happening now and ready to be revealed in the last time. Father, thank you. Thank you for giving us hope in the middle of so much pain, confusion, suffering. We are so weak. We can't handle it on our own. Thanks for helping us understand that, because in our pride, we thought we could handle it without you, and we'll end up thinking that we can do all kinds of things without you, but that's the lie of our flesh, the lie of Satan. We need you all the time. We want to hang on to your shoulders all the time. Lord Jesus, and thanks that your arms are always there. You're always holding on to us. Thanks that we can live our lives that way, and help us remember these realities even today and as we go into this week. Thank you for making such an amazing life possible to go through life with you, Lord Jesus, as our living hope. We pray in your name. Amen.